This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Right now, after yesterday's just massive swing that ended up 3,000 points to the upside in the Dow, but I look more closely at the S&P, which was up about 9.5%. And, you know, we've been really lucky to have some folks over at Bloomberg, you know, put some perspective on this as we really try to figure out what's going on. And even I look at the markets all the time and covered this stuff for a couple of years, and I was in the Great Recession, and I still don't really understand a lot of what's going on. So Ryan Vlastelica from Bloomberg joins us now, Brian and company. Ryan, good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
What's it like for you? I mean, you've been covering markets for a long time, but you know, maybe you were through the Great Recession as well when you know things were really felt a little more existentially problematic, but. I mean, what is, in your opinion, the point of all this on-again, off-again tariff stuff?
Hey, well, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I would say that this really does bring back a lot of memories of not just the financial crisis, but also COVID. I mean, the scale of the volatility, the magnitude of the swings we're seeing, the amount of uncertainty out there, all of that really does recall those pretty historic and sort of, you know, alarming past events. So certainly it does remind me of those kinds of periods in the past, certainly, but this one is different because it does seem like it is deriving almost entirely from tariff policy, all which is, I suppose, self-inflicted, if you want to view it that way, from the government in terms of, you know, policies being implemented, escalated, paused, all the stuff that makes it extremely difficult to know what's going to come next. It's going to make it extremely difficult for investors to know how to position in this kind of backdrop.
So, but is it about actual trade? Is it about, you know, finding a way to eventually, you know, renegotiate our debt? I don't really understand. Maybe nobody does, because you had Navarro versus the Treasury Secretary, I guess, in the White House with the tension. But, you know, at your desks and talking to your colleagues, you know, what is the ultimate goal here? Is it to reshape the world order, or is it to find a way to pay for the tax cuts? Like, I'm just trying to make sense of what the actual goal may be here.
Well, I think you're kind of hitting on what makes this such an uncertain environment, because we have heard different, things floated about what the ultimate goal of this is, but it's really difficult to know, and it's also difficult to know what would get this to stop if this is about, you know, fentanyl. We've heard that. We've heard that it is about trade deficits. We've heard about, you know, all kinds of different things being behind this. So until you get more clarity on really what the goals are and then what would be required for this sort of to come to an end or some kind of detente, it's, you know, again, it just makes it extremely difficult to know how to invest and to know what to expect.
Ryan Vlastelica from Bloomberg joining us here on Brian and Company. You focus on tech, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the net worth of the tech billionaires came back a bit yesterday, but I mean, they still have had a kind of a tough stretch even with yesterday's big pop. You know, I mean, Google's different because they don't really make anything. But, you know, like an Apple, would Apple actually bring more of their, you know, because I heard some great metaphors with Boeing, which is not a tech company, but how they source all their products overseas and they assemble them here. So, like, having tariffs hurts them, too. And they're an American company that puts the planes together here. Like, do any of the companies you cover, would they really, like, start making more stuff here because of what's going on?
Well, you mentioned Apple, and that's a pretty good example because this is a company that has really been sort of at the heart of the tariff-related risk. It is coming, well, yesterday was its biggest one-day gain since, I think, 2008, but before that, it is coming off its biggest four-day drop since 2000. So just to give you a sense of the magnitude of the swings that you're seeing in a company like Apple, which, I don't know how to check where it is right now, it was the biggest company in the world. It briefly fell under, you know, Microsoft, but, you know, just to give you a sense of how much things are moving right now. Now, this is very difficult for Apple because it does so much of its manufacturing overseas, especially in China, especially in Vietnam, countries that have had, you know, really high tariffs levied against them. And even with yesterday's pause, there was an increase of tariffs against China, which you would expect to be, you know, an additional headwind for Apple. Now, yesterday we were looking at a research report from Bank of America, which said that if Apple had to make its iPhones here in the United States, the costs related to that would go up about 90% when you're looking at labor costs, when you're looking at, you know, the what you would need to do in order to import sort of assembly stuff into the United States. It is extremely difficult for them to change their global supply chain, especially on a dime. I've seen other estimates that it would take 3 to 5 years to open a factory here for building iPhones. It would cost billions of dollars. So the idea that you can just sort of change the way your company has been running to go from a global supply chain to a completely domestic one is, you know, sort of unrealistic, especially when you consider you still need to get materials to build an iPhone. You need all kinds of parts and assembly and labor and raw materials and chips and all these other things that, you know, just have to be sourced from across the globe. So it's a very difficult position for them to be in.
We're talking with Ryan Vlastelica. Am I getting that last name right? Because I was trying to practice it in my head. Is that
the Vlastelica? Yep, that's absolutely right.
All right. From Bloomberg here, I'm Brian and Company. So, what, as a reporter covering this stuff, like, what's next? Like, what sort of things are you looking at for like in terms of what's the next shoe to drop, or what's the next movement, or the companies you cover? Like, what are you looking at right now?
Well, it is so difficult to know what's going to come next from the government. And, you know, I'm sure you saw earlier this week, there was sort of a rumor going around about a pause. Markets briefly rose on that. And then that turns out that rumor was inaccurate and markets fell again. And then yesterday we had the sort of confirmed pause. And so we did see a big spike on that. It's hard to know how to anticipate this stuff ahead of time when it's all being driven really from the White House. I mean, you can't really, you know, anticipate some of this stuff. It's not like, you know, set timing for certain announcements or whatever. So for us, what we're looking for here, we are just about to enter the earnings season, which is when all the companies will be reporting their quarterly results. A lot of people I speak to suggest that maybe we're not going to see many outlooks from companies, that just a sign of how much uncertainty there is. But any corporate commentary we get about how they're navigating the tariff situation is probably going to be extremely key. It's going to be a key theme over the next month or so. And something like Apple, we're going to look to see how they are responding to this environment, whether this means that they are going to be increasing prices in order to sort of pass the cost of tariffs on to consumers. Maybe they're going to be absorbing some of these prices. What does that mean for margins? What does that mean for earnings? What does it mean for demand if prices are higher? All these things are the kinds of questions we really just don't have a sense on yet. Especially, you know, for a company like Apple, which, like you said, is more hardware focused and has more of a direct impact from the tariff situation compared with like a software company or an internet company like Alphabet or Meta.
We saw yesterday, I know Delta remove their guidance. I think Walmart might have too. So, I mean, obviously the companies, they have no idea what's going to happen in terms of earnings and so on and so forth. Ryan, thank you so much. I know you're super busy. It's a very intense time, especially if you cover the market. So we're grateful for the insight.
Yep, my pleasure.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.